Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of stress test found under the cardiovascular section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 62-year-old man presents to his primary care physician a few days after developing chest pain. This is the first time he has ever had chest pain, and it occurred while he was shoveling snow. Past medical history is unremarkable. He denies to ever drinking alcohol, but has smoked half a pack of cigarettes per day for 30 years. He went to the emergency department and was found to have a normal electrocardiogram and CKMB. The patient denies having another episode of chest pain since. Arrangements are made for cardiac stress testing. Let's continue with an introduction to stress test. Cardiac stress testing can allow for the diagnosis of cardiac disease, and it is a prognostic tool. Remember that the type of cardiac stress testing depends on the type of stress, such as exercise and pharmacologic, and the type of assessment, such as an electrocardiogram, echocardiography, and a radionuclide imaging or nuclear stress test. Factors that must be taken into consideration when performing cardiac stress testing are many, and they may include the patient's ability to exercise, their resting ECG, and a history of prior revascularization. Medications, including beta blockers, calcium channel blockers such as amlodipine, and nitrates, should all be stopped 48 hours before undergoing a cardiac stress test. The only exception is if the patient has known coronary artery disease. In this case, the patient should remain on anti-anginal medications such that the test is used to assess the efficacy of the medication with exertion. Now let's discuss different cardiac stress testing in more detail. Let's begin with exercise treadmill testing. This is preferred in patients who are able to exercise with limited symptoms and have an interpretable ECG. It is indicated in patients who are low risk based on the heart score, or in patients who are intermediate or high risk without ongoing chest pain. The heart score stands for history, ECG, age, risk factors, and initial troponin. A low score is between 0 and 3 points, moderate is from 4 to 6, and high is 7 or higher. For history, a patient receives 0 points if they have a slightly suspicious history, 1 point if it is moderately suspicious, and 2 points if it is highly suspicious. For ECG, a patient receives 0 points if it is normal, 1 if there is non-specific repolarization findings, and 2 points if there is significant ST segment deviation. For age, a patient receives 0 points if they are less than 45, 1 point if they are between 45 and 64 years old, and 2 points if they are 65 years old or older. For risk factors, if there are none, they receive 0 points. If there are 1 to 2 risk factors, the patient receives 1 point, and if there are 3 or more risk factors, they receive 2 points. For initial troponin, if it is normal, they receive 0 points. If it is 1 to 3 times the normal limit, they receive 1 point, and if it is 3 times or more the normal limit, they receive 2 points. Contraindications to exercise treadmill testing include acute myocardial infarction, unstable angina, symptomatic severe aortic stenosis, acute pulmonary embolism, endocarditis, myocarditis, pericarditis, and dissection. Now let's discuss pharmacologic stress testing. This is typically performed in patients who cannot exercise or in patients with uninterpretable baseline ECGs, such as those with the bundle branch block, or in patients with the pacemaker. For pharmacologic agents, remember that vasodilators are preferred in radionuclide myocardial perfusion imaging and may include adenosine, dipyridamole, or regadenoson. And remember that this should not be performed in patients with bronchospastic airway disease. Inotropes and chronotropes include dobutamine, which is preferred for stress echo, and atropine. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to stress test, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 65-year-old man with a past medical history of obesity and diabetes presents to the emergency department with chest pain. He describes it as a chest pressure that radiates to his left arm and is worsened with exertion. Upon transport, the paramedics administered aspirin and nitroglycerin, and his chest pain resolved. The patient recently returned from a transatlantic flight. Currently, he states that he feels back to his baseline. His temperature is 97.9 degrees Fahrenheit, or 36.6 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 154 over 94, pulse is 88 beats per minute, respirations are 13 breaths per minute, and oxygen saturation is 95% on room air. Physical exam is notable for a regular rate and rhythm with no murmurs, and good air movement on cardiopulmonary exam. Laboratory studies are ordered and demonstrate a hemoglobin of 15 grams per deciliter, hematocrit of 44%, leukocyte count of 5,900 per millimeter cubed with a normal differential, platelet count of 177,000 per millimeter cubed, serum sodium is 137 milliequivalents per liter, chloride is 101 milliequivalents per liter, potassium is 4.0 milliequivalents per liter, bicarbonate is 25 milliequivalents per liter, BUN is 23 milligrams per deciliter, glucose is 103 milligrams per deciliter, creatinine is 1.2 milligrams per deciliter, calcium is 10.2 milligrams per deciliter, and troponin is less than 0.1 nanograms per milliliter. An initial chest radiograph is unremarkable. An ECG is performed, which demonstrates T-wave inversions. A repeat troponin 4 hours later reveals a value of less than 0.1 nanograms per milliliter. Which of the following is appropriate management of this patient? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, cardiac catheterization. Choice 2, CT angiogram of the chest. Choice 3, exercise stress test. Choice 4, no further testing indicated at this time. Or choice 5, pharmacologic stress test. The best answer to this question is choice 3, exercise stress test. This patient is presenting with chest pain that is concerning for acute coronary syndrome, and he has a heart score of 6. For history, he receives 2 points since it is highly suspicious. For ECG, 1 point since he has nonspecific changes. For age, he receives 2 points since he is 65 or older. For risk factors, he receives 1 point since he has 1 to 2 risk factors. And for troponin, he receives 0 points since he is below the detected threshold. This makes him an intermediate risk. Given his negative workup and intermediate risk, an exercise stress test is appropriate for this patient. Stress testing is appropriate in intermediate risk patients for whom there is a suspected diagnosis of acute coronary syndrome. Risk stratification can be guided using the heart score, which is composed of history, meaning the level of suspicion, ECG changes, age, risk factors, and initial troponin. If a patient with a history concerning for ACS, such as crushing chest pain and diaphoresis, has a normal workup and is intermediate risk, meaning a score between 4 to 6, then it is appropriate to perform an exercise stress test. For the USMLE, having a general idea of a higher or lower risk patient is important and will guide the decision of whether or not a stress test is needed. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. An elective cardiac catheterization can be performed in a high-risk patient, meaning a score of 7 or greater, who presents with symptoms consistent with ACS, given that these patients are at high risk of an adverse cardiac event. An elective catheterization will allow for early intervention and potentially could avoid a future ischemic event. Choice 2. CT angiogram of the chest would be indicated to rule out a pulmonary embolism in a patient who is high risk by the Wells criteria. This patient's history and chest pain relieved by nitroglycerin are much more concerning for ACS. Choice 4. No further testing indicated at this time would be appropriate management of a low-risk patient, meaning a heart score between 0 and 3, with the history suggestive of ACS, as the likelihood of an adverse cardiac event is exceedingly low in these patients. Choice 5. Pharmacologic stress testing would be appropriate if this patient had a contraindication to an exercise stress test, such as an inability to exercise. Otherwise, an exercise stress test can be performed. Finally, a bullet summary. Exercise stress testing is appropriate in patients who are at intermediate risk and present with concerns for acute coronary syndrome. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 45-year-old man presents to the emergency department with chest pain. He states he has a sensation of chest pressure and becomes sweaty whenever he exerts himself. The pain is relieved with rest. At the onset of pain, the patient took aspirin and came to the hospital. The patient has a past medical history of diabetes and hypertension. His temperature is 97.6 degrees Fahrenheit or 36.4 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 154 over 91. Pulse is 90 beats per minute. Respirations are 15 breaths per minute. And oxygen saturation is 98% on room air. Physical exam is unremarkable, revealing a normal S1 and S2 heart sound with clear lung sounds. The patient's initial chest radiograph is unremarkable. An initial ECG demonstrates a sinus rhythm with no ST segment or T wave changes. Basic labs are ordered and demonstrate a hemoglobin of 14 grams per deciliter, a hematocrit of 41%. Leukocyte count is 5,500 per millimeter cubed with a normal differential. Platelet count is 192,000 per millimeter cubed, and troponin is less than 0.1 nanograms per deciliter. The patient's repeat troponin 3 hours later is unremarkable. Which of the following is the most appropriate next step in management? And the answer choices are: choice 1, clopidogrel, atorvastatin, and heparin. Choice 2, CT angiogram of the chest. Choice 3, echocardiography. Choice 4, elective cardiac catheterization. Or choice 5, stress ECG. The best answer to this question is choice 5, stress ECG. This patient is presenting with a history highly suspicious for angina, which gives him 2 points on the heart score. A normal ECG, normal troponins. He is between 45 and 64 years old, which gives him 1 point on heart score, and is hypertensive and diabetic, which also gives him 1 point on the heart score. So this warrants further evaluation with a stress ECG. Chest pain has a variable presentation, and it is important to rule out life-threatening diagnosis, including myocardial infarction, pulmonary embolism, myocarditis, and aortic dissection. Acute coronary syndrome presents with classic symptoms of chest pain, diaphoresis, and dyspnea. Presentations can be incredibly variable. Thus, the heart score helps to risk stratify patients presenting with chest pain. For the heart score, history receives 0 points for slightly suspicious, 1 for moderately suspicious, and 2 for highly suspicious. ECG receives 0 points for normal, 1 for repolarization disturbance, and 2 for significant ST segment deviation. Age receives 0 points for less than 45, 1 point for between 45 and 64, and 2 points if they are 65 or older. For risk factors, it is 0 points if there are none, 1 point if there are 1 to 2 risk factors, and 2 points if there are 3 or more. And for initial troponin, 0 points are given if it is normal, 1 if there is a low-grade elevation, and 2 if there is a significant elevation. Scores between 0 and 3 are seen in low-risk patients who may require outpatient cardiac workup and a stress ECG depending on the circumstances of the pain and history. For scores between 4 and 6, these are moderate-risk patients who generally require a stress ECG and risk stratification on an inpatient or outpatient basis. Scores 6 and above are high-risk patients who require admission and inpatient management, which may require stress testing or diagnostic catheterization. Any patient with suspected acute coronary syndrome should receive aspirin and have appropriate workup, pending their heart score and symptoms. If a patient has completely normal workup, it is possible that they have reversible ischemia that can only be unveiled with exertion. For this reason, a stress ECG or stress echocardiograph can be performed to further characterize the etiology of these patients' symptoms. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1, clopidogrel, atorvastatin, and heparin would be appropriate management of an ST elevation myocardial infarction or a non-ST elevation myocardial infarction. This patient has a normal ECG and troponins and symptoms that are consistent with stable angina. Choice 2. CT angiogram of the chest would be diagnostic test of choice for a moderate or high-risk patient with a history concerning for a pulmonary embolism. A pulmonary embolism presents with a history of hypercoagulability, dyspnea, hypoxia, and pleuritic chest pain and is treated with heparin in a stable patient or thrombolytics and clot retrieval in an unstable patient. Choice 3. Echocardiography would be indicated to evaluate cardiac contractility, assess for focal wall abnormalities, and assess for valvular function. However, it would be unlikely to reveal any useful information in a stable patient unless it was a stress echocardiography. Choice 4. Elective cardiac catheterization would be indicated in unstable angina or in chest pain in a patient with a high heart score. Cardiac catheterization would also be indicated in a STEMI or an NSTEMI. Finally, a bullet summary. Stress ECG is indicated in patients with angina for whom an initial workup reveals no abnormalities. That's all for this review about stress test. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.